Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners. From VOA Learning English, this is As It Is, the program that helps you learn American English with stories from around the world. I'm Mario Ritter. On today's program, we tell you about two viruses that can affect people in many parts of the world. But first, we tell you about some words that are important to understanding the story. If a disease incapacitates you, it makes you unable to work, move, or function the way you usually do. A foothold is a position that makes it possible to begin something, even spreading an infectious virus. Tropical and temperate are two types of climates or weather conditions in an area. Simply stated, tropical is hot and wet, while temperate is not too hot or too cold. Now, Ana Mateo brings us the story.
A virus with a strange-sounding name has been around for a long time, but only in parts of the world. Now, chikungunya is traveling the world. Health officials first identified chikungunya in 1952 in East Africa. In the language of that area, chikungunya means to walk bent over. That describes people suffering from this disease. Chikungunya starts like the flu. Sufferers get fever and head and muscle pain. Some people also develop a skin condition. But what separates chikungunya from other viruses is the extreme pain and swelling in the joints of hands and feet. Dr. Scott Weaver is director of the Institute for Human Infections and Immunity at the University of Texas in the United States. He explains how this virus differs from other flu-like sicknesses.
It starts off like many other flu-like infectious diseases with fever and headache and body aches. But what distinguishes it from most others is that the pain is focused on the small joints like the hands, the wrists, and the ankles. And that's accompanied by swelling. And the combination of swelling and pain can leave people pretty severely incapacitated.
Chikungunya rarely kills, but it can incapacitate people who get it, meaning they can barely move. Some sufferers complain of joint pain for months, even years. When this virus infects a community, it has the ability to shut it down. The pain is so severe that people cannot work. There is a special danger for pregnant women who get chikungunya. It is possible that the virus infects the baby. Some babies born with chikungunya have swelling of the brain. That can lead to long-term disability. The way chikungunya is traveling the world is about mutation. In 2005, chikungunya left Africa and infected islands in the Indian Ocean, India, and Southeast Asia. The virus has a strong foothold in these areas. But now, chikungunya is infecting people in non-tropical areas of the world. Mutation is to blame. Mutation and the tiger mosquito. The bite of an infected mosquito causes chikungunya. It is not passed from one person to another. Again, here is Dr. Weaver explaining how chikungunya is making its way around the world. The old chikungunya virus stowed away, or stole a ride, on the tropical mosquito called Aedes aegypti. This type of mosquito is the most common carrier of chikungunya. The stronger mutated chikungunya now stows away in the tiger mosquito. The tiger mosquito is found in cooler climates. So now, chikungunya has more visas in its passport, so to speak, allowing it to travel to more places with temperate climates, such as Europe, China, and North America. And it is traveling. Scientists say chikungunya is a major health threat around the world.
You are listening to As It Is, a program from VOA Learning English. Anna just told us about the viral disease chikungunya. Next, we hear about a deadly disease that health officials warn can affect developing and developed countries. Anna tells us more.
Dengue fever is also on the move, and dengue kills. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimates as many as 400 million people are infected with dengue each year. The WHO warns that even developed countries like the US, Australia, and those in Europe are at risk of dengue. The WHO says environmental changes and increased world travel are two reasons dengue is spreading. Dr. Weaver says chikungunya and dengue infect communities in much the same way, what he calls their transmission cycles.
I think that we will see some cases in the southern U.S. We can predict, I think, fairly well what will happen with chikungunya because it's a very similar disease and transmission cycle to dengue virus, and we have a lot of experience with dengue.
The signs of dengue include a sudden high temperature, severe head pain, eye pain, and joint and muscle pain. Some people also develop a skin condition. Others may bleed from the mouth and nose. To protect against chikungunya and dengue viruses, the CDC suggests covering as much skin as possible. People, especially those working outdoors, should wear long-sleeved shirts, long pants, and hats. The CDC also suggests the use of anti-insect chemical sprays. They say to avoid strong fragrances or having foods that draw insects near you. It is best to sleep in rooms that mosquitoes cannot enter. If that is not possible, use a covering called a bed net. The bed net should be sprayed with a chemical that kills insects. Finally, mosquitoes can breed in small amounts of still water, so remove standing water as much as possible. There is no cure for chikungunya or dengue, but vaccines for both are currently being tested. I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Mario Ritter. Stay with us for A Words and Their Stories on Father's Day. Then, on People in America, you will hear about the life of a woman who wrote a song Americans closely associate with the Civil War. And join us for As It Is Tomorrow, when we tell you about worries over the Islamic State in Indonesia and extreme weather in Hawaii.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, at VOA Learning English.
Now, the VOA Learning English program, Words and Their Stories. On the third Sunday in June, Americans take time to recognize and thank a special person in the family, fathers. Father's Day celebrates the importance of fathers, young and old, and the men thought of as father figures. Like father, like son is probably the most common father expression. It means a boy is very much like his father, and sons often do what their fathers did before them. This can be a good thing or a bad thing. Harry Chapin's song, Cats in the Cradle, was popular in the 1970s. He sings about a father who did not spend time with his son. His son grew up to be a man who did not have time for his aging father. Like father, like son.
And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cats in the cradle.
The words, "The child is father of the man," comes from the William Wordsworth poem, My Heart Leaps Up. It means people's personalities form when they are children. They will most likely have the same qualities as an adult that they had as a child. Used in everyday speech, one could say, in his case, the child was father of the man. He loved nature as a child and now works as a botanist. Let's say you want to tell a child a story about something that happened long before they were born. You could say it happened when they were just a twinkle in their father's eyes. This expression has a humorous and dreamy feel. Here, the word twinkle suggests the interest your father had in your mother. When a much older man is interested in a much younger woman and supports her with his money, he is called her sugar daddy. The money part is very important. That's the sugar. Sometimes fathers are not a good influence or active in the lives of their children. In that case, a person may look for a father figure, a man who is not actually the person's father, but who acts like one. The relationship between a man and his son can be complex. There is a time when the son wants to grow into his own man, something described often in literature. Author Tom Wolfe wrote about a father and son relationship in his 1987 book, The Bonfire of the Vanities.
Sherman made the terrible discovery that men make about their fathers, sooner or later, that the man before him was not an aging father, but a boy. A boy much like himself, a boy who grew up and had a child of his own, and as best he could, out of a sense of duty and perhaps love, adopted a role called being a father.
Rarely are father and son relationships as complex as they are in the film series Star Wars. Luke Skywalker, the hero, fights against the evil Darth Vader. Then Vader gives Luke the shock of his life.
No, I am your father.
The words, "I am your father," are now part of American pop culture. And it's more fun if you say it like Darth Vader. The relationship between a father and daughter is often simpler. The expression, "daddy's little girl," is understood to mean that in a father's eyes, his daughter can do no wrong. There is usually not a dry eye at any wedding during the traditional father and daughter dance, especially if they are dancing to a song like Michael Bublé's Daddy's Little Girl. I'm Anna Mateo. To all the fathers out there, happy Father's Day.
You're the spirit of Christmas, the star on the tree. You're the Easter bunny for mommy and me. You're sugar, you're spice, you're everything nice. And you're daddy's little girl.
I'm Ray Freeman.
And I'm Shirley Griffith with the special English program, People in America. Every week we tell about a person important in the history of the United States. Today we tell about Julia Ward Howe. She wrote one of the great songs of the American Civil War, the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Marching soldiers. No end to the lines of soldiers marching across the land. They came from the northern states, fighting to keep the Union together. And they came from the southern states, fighting for a separate Confederate government that would protect their right to have slaves. In summer and winter, the fighting continued. The sun burned like fire. The soldiers marched on. The cold winter winds blew snow in their faces. The soldiers marched on. The United States was a nation cut in two by a bitter struggle over slavery and a state's right to leave the Union. America's Civil War lasted 4 years. It destroyed the land. And it destroyed the young men of the nation.
Many stories have been told about the soldiers of the Civil War. They have told of the soldiers' fear and terror, their great and heroic acts, how they suffered and died, and how they sang before and after battle. One song, more than any other, caught the spirit of the Union soldiers of the North. The song is the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Here is the first part of the song, sung by Odetta.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
The words are religious. They are like a hymn, a song of praise to God. This is the story of the woman who wrote the song.
The place was Washington, D.C. The year was 1861. It was a wet winter night. There were thousands of soldiers in the city. The hospitals were full. The field of battle was just across the Potomac River in the southern state of Virginia. A woman lay asleep in her hotel room. She had had a long, hard day. She had come to Washington to visit the Union troops. The sight and sounds of the soldiers gave her no rest. Even in her sleep, she seemed to hear them. She heard their sad voices as they sat beside their fires. She heard them singing. They sang a marching song she knew. It was a song about John Brown, an activist against slavery. The song told about how his body turned to earth in the grave. It told about how his spirit lived on.
The woman's name was Julia Ward Howe. She was a writer and social reformer. She was born in New York City in 1819. Her father was a wealthy banker. Julia married Samuel Gridley Howe. He was a reformer and teacher of the blind. Julia and Samuel Howe moved to Boston. Mrs. Howe raised 5 children, and she published several books of poetry.
Julia Ward Howe and Samuel Gridley Howe were leaders in the movement in America to end slavery. They published an anti-slavery newspaper called The Commonwealth. Mrs. Howe had met John Brown. Like him, she was an anti-slavery activist. She opposed those Americans who used black people as slaves. Unlike him, she did not approve of using violence to end slavery. In 1859, John Brown tried to start a revolt of slaves. He led an attack on Harper's Ferry, a town in what was then the state of Virginia. The town had a factory that made guns for the army. It also had a storage center for military equipment. The attack on Harper's Ferry failed. John Brown was put on trial for treason. He was found guilty and was executed.
In the northern states, John Brown became a hero. His story was told through song. The song was most popular with soldiers. It became the unofficial marching song of the Union Army. Julia Ward Howe also liked to sing the song. She felt that the music was beautiful, but the words about John Brown were not. So she decided to write different words to the music. Those words came to her that night as she lay in her hotel room in Washington. She was awakened by her dreams of marching soldiers.
I found to my surprise that the words were forming themselves in my head. I lay still until the last line had completed itself in my thoughts. Then I quickly got out of bed. I thought I would forget the words if I did not write them immediately. I looked for a piece of paper and a pen. Then I began to write the lines of a poem. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. I wrote until I was finished. Then I lay down again and fell asleep. I felt something important had happened to me.
An American magazine, the Atlantic Monthly, bought Mrs. Howe's poem. She was paid $4. The magazine published the poem in 1862. The poem became very popular. It had just the right words for the great marching music. The soldiers of the Union Army began to sing the words Julia Ward Howe had written. It soon became their official marching song, the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Julia Ward Howe became famous. She was invited to the White House to meet President Abraham Lincoln. After dinner at the White House, the guests talked about the Civil War. They were sad. The Union Army had suffered many defeats. Then someone began to sing the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Mrs. Howe and President Lincoln joined in the singing. There were tears in the president's eyes. Here is the last part of the song, sung by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
After the North won the Civil War in 1865, Julia Ward Howe became involved in other social reform movements. She became a leader in the movement to gain equal rights for American women, including the right to vote. She helped establish the New England Women's Club in 1868. This organization worked for equal rights for women in education and business. She served as president of the group for more than 30 years.
Julia Ward Howe also became involved in the movement for peace. In 1870, she issued an appeal to womanhood throughout the world. This was a call for an international conference of women to support the peaceful settlement of conflicts. The next year, she helped organize the American group of the Women's International Peace Association. She became president of the group. Julia Ward Howe continued to write books and make speeches about the issues she felt were important. Through the years, thousands of people came to hear her recite her most famous poem. She died in 1910. She was 91 years old.
The Battle Hymn of the Republic still is one of America's great traditional songs. No one knows for sure who wrote the music, but the song lives on. And so does the name of the woman who made the music famous with her words, Julia Ward Howe.
This special English program was written by Shelley Gollist. It was produced by LaJuan Davis. I'm Shirley Griffith.
And I'm Ray Freeman. Join us again next week for another People in America program on The Voice of America.